Chapter 34.
You don't have to do this, Convert says. Sinjir huffs a lamentable sigh. Apparently I do. Job's a job, and, oh gods, I just started a new job. What is wrong with me?
The two of them stand before Senator Tolwar Wartol's Ganoidian cruiser. Thankfully, it's here on Chandrilla again, and didn't require them to take a quick hop to blah-blah-boring farm world, Nakadia, or worse, to the asteroid archipelago above Orish that Wartol and his like call home. Sinjir cares little why he's back on Chandrilla. The convenience of it suits him, and he is nothing if not a man who appreciates ease. Condor makes that face, a little pouty, a lot dubious. One eyebrow up, a twist to his lips, a cockiness to his hips.
I don't mean this specifically. I mean the whole package. The job, Chandrilla, me.
You? I don't follow.
You don't have to be with me. Fate put us together again, and it's just, we don't have to do this.
Oh, but we do. Sinjir cups the man's beardy cheek first with a gentle caress, and then with a sharp tap-tap slap. Dearest fool heart, all my time away was spent thinking about how much I hated you. And I hated you because I liked you so much. Too much, really. It's gross the way I feel about you. It's like... Sinjir makes a face as if he just sucked on a dirty thumb. Gah! It's really not natural to me. But I learned that I don't know what the precious hell I'm talking about. My mind is an idiot. My heart knows all. I want what I want. What I want is a beach view. A cold glass of something very drunk-making. And you. You noble fuzzy-faced fool.
So if that means becoming just a hair respectable and entering into the service of our most estimable Chancellor, then that is what will be done.
You aren't the settling-down type.
Sinjir rolls his eyes so hard, he fears they might tumble out of his head.
Ah! Who says I'm settling? Settling is such a passive affair. Settling is how a hut slug sits down. I've been settling since Endor. Settling for whatever comes my way. Usually a bar stool, if we're being honest. You, this job, this life, it's all a mountain. And I intend quite fully to climb it.
Condor smirks. Sinjir destroys that smirk with a hard kiss. Hands behind the head, drawing the man's face to his.
Well then, Condor says.
Well then.
Sinjir turns back toward the cruiser.
I suppose I should do this.
At his feet sits the basket of pitta fruit. Looking at it again reminds him how much he admires the Chancellor. Not for all her leadership and governance, which is fine, whatever, but for the potent venom she quite plainly conceals inside that boring white-robed facade. She's a vicious twig, a veritable whipping branch of a human being. And he thinks they could have a long and fascinating professional relationship.
I still think Tolwar is dirty.
I cannot speak to his cleanliness.
No, I mean I think he's corrupt.
Sinjir shrugs.
Of course he's corrupt. He's a politician. The bug. The one in Leia's droid. He planted it. I couldn't manage to track it back to him, but he was the one who gained from the information. It had to be him, Sinjir. I know it.
One suspects that's true. He was using it to gain a political advantage, not a criminal one. The Orishin are almost overly noble, driven mad by an aggressive sense of honor. Something-something sacrifice, something-something stern father telling his son how hard it is out there. He sneers. I do despise how they name themselves, though. Tolwar Wartol, Vendar Darven, Tim Tam Tam Tim. You'd think they could be more original.
It's cultural.
Well, that's no excuse.
Go, Condor says. Deliver your fruit. Be as polite as you can manage. Do not start an intergalactic incident.
Those I leave to Jom.
Have fun at work, honey.
Thank you, doll. And if you call me honey again, I'll rip that beard off your face swatch by swatch with miserable pinching tugs. He mimes the gesture with his hand, just in case Condor doesn't get it.
You're such a romantic.
My heart is a dry nest of dead birds.
He stoops down to kiss the man's scrubby cheek. Bye, Con.
Bye, Sin.
Wartol sits, still as the steeple of an old temple. In front of him is a cup of something bitter-smelling, probably some kind of old root juice the Orishan people consume. Steam rises off it. Around, the Ganoidian cruiser is decked out in the Orishan way. Severe, spare, blocky, unpleasant. Sinjir likes it. It's quiet, too. No security to be found. No pilot. No anyone except for the senator himself. He sets the basket on the floor.
A gift from the Chancellor.
You're the ex-imperial.
Wartol's voice is a deep, thrumming timbre.
And you're the Chancellor candidate, who's been outplayed at every turn, including by a ginger woman with a single sour fruit. Oops.
The senator's slitted nostrils pucker with irritation, even as his jaw gently eases apart before stitching back together again.
You work for her now? You're a symptom. You see that, don't you? A symptom of a larger, nastier disease.
Do tell.
An imperial working for the Chancellor? So cozy with her. Oh, my, how cosmopolitan. Your presence has infected the process. Whispering in her ear, surely. Ah, but I give you too much credit. You won't lead her. She'll lead you. She'll lead us all. Mon doesn't need you to thin her moral code, because it's already thinner than a slurry made of spit. Mon Mothma is weak. She will destroy this republic if we let her. People like you at her side will only hasten its demise. We'll blink, and one day the republic will have fallen, and the Empire will step out of her shadow and gently take its place.
Sinjir thinks at first to hold his tongue. But really, what's the point? The Chancellor knew what she was getting when she sent him along. You ask a hound to find a bone, you could expect some holes dug in the yard. And it's not like the pitta fruits are a subtle message, are they? No, she wants him to scrap a little. Sinjir will do it, so she doesn't have to. He says,
It's ironic, you know.
You go on about fearing another empire,
and yet you're the one who reminds me of every imperial autocrat. Every bully-fed officer who thinks that the best way to lead is through acts of severity. Through a parade of cruelty, just to remind the men, life is hard, and so you must be harder. They go on about sacrifice, but never really sacrifice squat themselves. Oh, no, because they're the ones above the heavy boot on the back of the neck, not the ones beneath it. You want war. You want defense. You're a raptor who sees all his people as defenseless little flit-wrens, and you'll save them, if only they give up the fanciful notion that they can lead themselves. That they can protect themselves.
You understand nothing.
Meanwhile, Sinjir says, really leaning into it now, your opponent is a woman who wants to give democracy to the entirety of the galaxy. Freedom for all, oppression for none.
It's naive.
It may be,
But at this point, I'm going to side with her precious naivete over your authoritarian bluster. Enjoy your fruit, Senator. We'll send you a lifetime supply as a consolation when you lose the election.
Sinjir sets the basket down on the table. And when he does, he notices three things. First, Wartol never stood up. That's odd. It's standard to get up and greet guests, no matter how much you despise them, especially among the Orishin, who have a rather firm grip on protocol. Second, Wartol's left hand holds the cup of steaming dark juice, but his right hand has never gone above the table. It rests beneath it. Third, on the surface of the table, across from where the Orishin sits, waits a faint ring of moisture, as if from a cup resting there. A cup sweating its condensation or steam onto the tabletop. Sinjir's gaze turns to it, then to Wartol. The Senator is watching him. Wartol saw him look. It is necessary, perhaps, to acknowledge it.
Had a guess, did we? Sinjir says.
Not your business, Imperial.
No, it's not. You're right. He's acting cagey, the Senator. Sinjir knows body language, and a lot of that transcends species, sex, age. It's not just that Wartol is hiding something. It's that what he's hiding is up under his skin plates. It's nesting there, like worm hatchlings. He's bothered by it. He doesn't want it discovered, so Sinjir decides he's going to pick this scab, see what bleeds.
Still, though, why don't you tell me anyway? We're friends, aren't we? I won't tell anyone.
Wartol says nothing. He barely even twitches. Sinjir remains where he is, half leaning over the basket of fruit. The silence is a wall between them.
Then the wall shatters. Wartol kicks back, his hand up and out. A blaster is in his claw-like fingers.
Sinjir stares down the mouth of that pistol. A fat-barreled, snub-chambered kanji-made blaster.
Like the kind criminals use.
And the weapon goes off. But Sinjir turns to the side, flattening his profile as the blast pocks the far wall of the cruiser's sitting room. He has no blaster of his own in kind.
Curse you, Sinjir. You should always bring a weapon when tangling with a politician.
So he grabs what's close at hand. The basket. He gets his long fingers under the basket's seat and flips it hard toward the Orishin. Wartol bats it away. Fruit goes everywhere. Through a spray of pitta juice, Sinjir rushes the man. The air lights up again, and something catches Sinjir hard, and his head snaps back, and he smells singed blood and burning hair. Everything goes sideways as the world wheels out from under him. His eyes cross. I've been shot. An absurd thought, because he's fairly certain he has been shot in the head, which is not a good way to live, and is in fact a very good way to die. Wartol lurches over him, a blurry shape as Sinjir's vision struggles to find clarity. The blaster is up again. Sinjir's spidery fingers scrabble over the ground, finding something there, something wet, slimy, seedy.
It's too late,
Wartol says, cryptic. What's too late? The blaster goes off. Sinjir rolls aside as a flash of hot energy digs a furrow into the floor right by his head. His ear goes shrill as it rings, and the side of his cheek feels hot, and the other side of his head feels slick. He whips his hand up, flinging whatever was in it. A pitta fruit spatters uselessly against Wartol's face. It hits. It drips. It plops back down to the ground. His jaw extends outward and curls into an underbite, and the Senator blasts a puff of air upward, unmooring dribbling pitta juice from his nose slits and brow.
The fruit won't save you now,
Sinjir says.
No, but it distracted you, didn't it?
Wartol makes a bewildered animal sound. Just as a blaster goes off and clips him in the shoulder. He spins like a child's top and crashes against his own chair. His cup of whatever it was splashes down against him and shatters. The snub-barreled blaster drops. Condor steps forward, his own blaster in hand, and steps down on it. With a quick slide of his foot, he sends the blaster spinning to Sinjir, who snatches it and wearily stands.
"Am I being shot in the head?"
he asks Condor. Condor's eyes open in shock, and his mouth forms an alarmed O shape.
"Well, I suppose that answers that."
Sinjir's hand flies to the side of his head. It comes away wet with his own blood. Some of it has already been cauterized, making it tacky against his fingers. The shot glanced along the side of his head, carving a furrow that starts at his temple.
"Sin, I think you'll be all right."
"I'll be fine. My rather luxurious hair? Not so much."
He strides forward and stands atop Wartol.
"You, answer for yourself."
"Die, Imperial slime!"
Sinjir points the blaster and shoots the man in the knee. He howls.
"Now, I'm of a mind not to actually kill you, because I'm one of the good ones these days, and I have appearances to keep up.
But I will whittle you down until you're not but a talking, jabbering head. Why pull a blaster? What are you hiding?"
"Ah! I told you! It's too late!"
"What is too late?"
"I can't call him off now!"
Sinjir shoots the other knee. Wartol bellows, sitting suddenly upright like a book slammed shut. He clutches at his knee as purple blood bubbles between his fingers.
"Ah!"
"Call who off? What are you—"
At first he thinks it's thunder, the faraway sound. But thunder is a low rumble, like a sallow belly expressing its hunger. This is duller, deeper, one and done. A hard, shuddering boom. An explosion.
"What did you do, Wartol? What did you do?"
Wartol's laugh dissolves into a blubbering confession.
"Sacrifices are necessary, Imperial. Sometimes disease is so rampant, you must cut off limbs to save the body. Like an Orish, the Empire was a cancer on the galaxy. Just as Mon Mothma was a cancer on the Republic."
"Was a cancer? Was?"
"You didn't,"
Sinjir seethes. But Wartol simply weeps. Not from grief, no, but what Sinjir sees is clearly relief. Condor steps back and unrolls his sleeve. Underneath is nothing so small as a comlink, but rather a whole tech gauntlet. With it, he can slice into doorways or program droids or any number of things. But he can also tap into various feeds. Holonet, Orbit Control, NRN News, and of course, local security bureau transmissions. He dials into the frequency. The air fills with static, then resolves into a voice.
"Code 424, repeat, code 424. Reports of an explosion at the North Tower of the Senate building. Code 424.
Sinjir thinks,
"No, no, no, it's not possible."
He marches straight to the door, to the ramp, down to the landing bay. All of the landing bays here are up high, over the coast. And at this vantage point, it's easy to see the center of Hana City, where the Senate building sits. Looming above that building is the tower where Mon Mothma's office sits, where Sinjir was only hours before. A hole has been blown in the side of it. Even from here, he can see how ash and debris are vacated out into open air. How the white permacrete side is charred with soot and tongues of flame. Smoke billows out like an escaping friend. The Chancellor. She was in there. He left her alone in there. Sinjir turns, marches back inside, pistol up. He storms through to the sitting area, past Condor, then drops to Wartol's chest. He He screws the barrel of the Kanji blaster so hard against the man's forehead, it nearly breaks the hard plating that covers the man's head.
You killed her!
I had it done,
Wartol croaks.
You will pay for this.
Do it! End me. I have no career, but I have sacrificed myself to make a better galaxy. Chancellor Mon Mothma will no longer be able to spread her corrosive stain across the burgeoning New Republic.
Wartol lifts his head into the blaster.
Pull the trigger, coward!
Sinjir roars and draws the blaster back. His chest heaves as rage runs so hot inside him, it's like a star burning itself up. But he resists. You'll not die today. You'll go to trial. You'll go to prison. You'll see your name and your people dragged out in front of us all as craven traitors. He looks to Condor. The man gives him a small nod. It's a small concession. A mote of light in a suddenly dark day. But it's all he has. So he holds on to it as tightly as he can manage.